friends. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
You're on your first date. You've just drank a liter of hot Dr. Pepper, which what that does to you is it gets like down under, like really rumbla, rumbla, rumbla. So you can have a choice here. You're going to let you're going to rip ass or you're going to belch.
I'd belch.
What would you do?
I can't burp very easily.
Or would you do neither?
I fart better than I burp.
Or would you excuse yourself? And would you, like, hide in some corner and do what you need to do?
Do you know
like,
what?
I probably would go out. Because, like, it comes out better out of my bum.
Yeah, I think like, I'm a bum person,
are you able
too.
To, like, control it? Like, you do, like, little increments, like, so nobody knows? Sometimes in yoga, I'm just like, oh, man, there's music. Thank God. But when the music goes
quiet, I'm cutting this out.
Stop. I love this. It's my favorite topic. But if the music's quiet and you need to like just quietly like just
wouldn't that be crazy if like out? Music got quiet, like okay. Quiet something, you're like
I'm gonna Google this. There was this person who used to fart a harmonica. I kid you not. There was a touring harmonica farter.
Oh my God.
Would like
so she stick a harmonica between her butt cheeks and just slide it while she
I'm
ripped
looking
ass,
at
like
party.
Could you ask for a song? You're like, can you play Pour Some Sugar on Me?
Oh my God, that'd be the best.
Def Leppard?
Yes, thank you.
That you're welcome.
They were born when I was born.
I would try out of my mouth, but I don't think I can do it.
Oh my God.
I don't think I can give it justice.
No.
Okay. Moving on.
Here we go. So.
Hi, how's everyone doing today?
What would you do if you met someone at their most confident, magnetic, and ideal version of themselves?
When am I not at that moment?
I would fall in love immediately.
But then you found out it's partially constructed.
What?
Would you stay because the connection felt real? Or leave because the foundation wasn't?
This is like a boob question. Because, like, is it a padded bra? Is it a push-up bra? Does she have makeup
on?
I don't know. Like, it's about the sex for me.
For me.
If it's good sex, I'm staying.
But you don't have sex on.
But how can you partially construct good sex? That's hard to fake.
It's in the eyeballs.
What?
It really is actually in the eyeballs.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It is.
So it's your first time and they stare at you the whole time.
You've never had sex before and they are staring at you and you're like, I can see you're going to be amazing. It's going to happen and you're going to be amazing. And I'm in.
I just feel like when you're on your first date with someone, is anybody ever like, wah, wah? Or are they putting their best foot forward?
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, are we ever our true selves when we're first trying to hook someone?
How long are we talking?
First date.
Okay.
Maybe even the first 6 weeks.
You know what? I am into the 3 months.
What is the 3 month thing for you?
For whatever reason, 3 months is everyone's putting on a show. And then suddenly, 3 months, things start kind of disintegrating.
They get a little bit more real.
Yeah. You're like, you know what? I like to fart. I like to
I'm tired of holding back around you.
I like to eat a bunch of sausages during the day and then fart all night.
I feel really bad for guys.
And then he's like, I was not doing that for 3 months because I didn't want to fart at night around you. But now I think you like me a little bit. I'm going to let
you. Yeah, guts. Now that I've got you, I'm going to let it go.
I don't know. I think my tactic is different. I think my tactic is more like, I'm going to be so blunt and in your face. Like, but I'm going to also be so vulnerable, accepting, and forgiving and interested in you. that you will not realize that you just accepted crazy into your world. Like jazz hands, you know, all over the place.
So what you're saying is you are your absolute true and authentic self.
No, I put a good spin on it. I am. Like, I'm so overly authentic, but people don't believe me because I like give it to them all in a way that I'm like, hey, guess what? And I kill kittens. And they're like, oh
you
my gosh,
don't kill kittens. You lie. She would never. She saves all the kittens.
You should see how many kittens are in Sue's house.
She can't
right
even
now.
Do it with us.
You lie. You sleep on a bed.
She's the Pied Piper of kittens.
She is.
She comes outside. Literally. And the stray cats of Dover, like,
the 22 cats line up and they do whatever.
I have fed these cats for Valerie, and so, it is so crazy. You open that little cabinet, and then suddenly cats are coming out of the woodwork. Coming out of like trees and holes and bushes, and then you suddenly have like 50 cats swarming you. This is the craziest thing I've ever seen.
So Valerie says that on her first date, she tells people she kills kittens. So she's truly not her authentic self because we know that
she is the absolute reverse.
Yes. So to my point, I think we all do it, right?
We do.
We all kind of construct a version of ourselves.
Or we present ourselves like, we'll tell you the truth.
Right.
But we'll say it like in a way where you're like, no, that's not really the truth, is it? Like, but it's cute when you fart and burp. It's so cute when I fart and burp. I'm the cutest
burp. Are we telling that about ourselves? Like, I myself am so cute when I fart and burp. And you're going to love it too. I know.
And you know what? I'm totally going to just be into your farts and burps too.
I feel like I
eat your beef sticks all day long.
You know, some people can't handle the beef sticks. And maybe I will just load you up and you just go for it all night. Hot box me, bitch.
Yeah. I'd be like, we're done.
But then I would look in your eyes.
Oh, don't do the eye thing. She's good at it. She's got it.
She's got it down. Zoomy eyes.
That's true. So a hitman.
I have truly eyes right now.
That's what we're talking about.
Yes. Yeah. All right.
So that's kind of the premise, though. Tell us who wrote this movie?
Okay,
who's in
I'm
this
gonna
movie?
Get serious
What's from me all this stuff?
And was released in 2023. Was direct? Yeah, it was.
I thought it was just last year.
Well, it was in the festivals in 2023.
Oh,
but
it was a lower. Okay. It wasn't like a super put out there movie.
Kind of was, but it sort of was in Europe. I might be getting this wrong, but it was Europe.
Oh, yeah.
Or some area, not in the United States.
It kind of feels like it would have more.
Maybe. I don't want to even say anymore because I'll get it wrong. Mm-hmm. It was released somewhere in 2023.
Okay.
But then Netflix, whatever, in 2025.
Okay. Because that's what's like, I remember that coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So it's a fairly recent movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's
It's directed by Richard Linklater.
Later.
I'm always so bad at that.
That okay. I think you do great. I love it.
The writers, actually, I personally was so happy to see Glenn Powell.
Yes.
Do you like Glenn Powell?
Just a tiny little bit.
Just a scotch.
Just a sketchy scotch.
That's her celebrity crush right now. So, Glenn, if you're listening.
Always. Courtney. I've loved Glenn for years.
Do you know, like, those lists of 10? He's on it.
Yeah. I liked Glenn before he was Glenn.
See, that's true. That's true celebrity love.
Yeah. I like Glenn way before he was popular. And then, so Glenn Powell and Skip Hollandsworth and Richard Linklater.
Well, they co-wrote
it. Okay, can I take a pause here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you tell us that you're really into, like, the Aquaman type guy. A thing. But then the guys that you always like, oh, I really love, you know, like Glenn Powell. And I really love, who's the other guy who was in La La Land who looks a lot like him and who's also adorable? Ryan Gosling. You kind of like those kind of guys a lot.
I do too.
They're just all charming.
Yeah, they're really charming.
I like charming men.
She's a charming.
She likes charming.
What would that really be like if I had like amazing. A charming guy like
the best Glenn
Powell?
Oh, yeah.
So you are but attracted I don't know. To personality more than.
Okay. So I keep telling you, I loved Glenn Powell in that one movie. Uh-huh. And he was kind of scruffy in that movie. Yeah, the mustache. Yeah,
you kind of like that.
I love that.
The super sweet, feeling good guys.
And that is what he was. That's I feel like he plays that, except for...
You guys want to know what his first role was? Yes, just guess.
Oh, well, now I'm like...
I have no idea.
Just for funsies.
Okay, for funsies.
He was 14 years old.
Okay, what would a good 14-year-old
And he was living in Austin, Texas.
Okay.
And he played the long-fingered boy in the 2003 movie Spy Kids.
Oh, the long-fingered.
3D.
Oh, I don't.
Game over.
I just rewatched that with my stepson, like, over Christmas break.
So you saw 14-year-old Glenn Powell?
Yes, I did, and I did not recognize
him. Was he as charming?
Did work his fingers too long for you to, like, realize, oh, that's Glenn?
I don't know. I mean, call me weird. I wasn't. Looking at 14-year-olds the same way I would look at Glenn Powell.
I'm so happy to hear that. Thank God.
Yeah, so I didn't make the connection.
Well, you missed out.
Now I'm going to... Now I actually own that CD because... So I own this 9 kids CD. I will get that to
I don't know if I want to watch that. I just like Glenn Powell in my head.
Yes.
No.
This like the Zac Efron thing for me just ruins it when I'm like high school music. And I'm like, pedophile.
That's
gross. I can't do it.
It's funny. So the three of them wrote it.
Yeah. Three of them wrote it. And so this movie is called Hitman, if we haven't said it yet. And the basic premise is based on a true story of a college professor who worked for the Houston police in the late 1980s and 90s as a fake hitman.
Just a few days ago, actually.
I loved this premise. So I think that Glenn came across it in like a monthly whatever article. And he was just like, wow, that's such a fun idea. And then he spun the story. And I think that if it was just like a story about a professor that was like moonlighting as a hitman, like an undercover hitman for the police to catch criminals, it would have been lame.
Well, but yeah, it's a cool life. It's super cool life. I'm like, that guy's awesome.
Well,
the story would not be exciting.
Yeah. So it adds quite a bit of interest when you have like this beautiful woman who needs a hitman.
Yes.
And my favorite part about it was just watching his character arc.
Yes.
When it started.
Loved it.
I don't know if you guys remember the movie Napoleon Dynamite.
Yes.
He reminded me of Kip on Napoleon Dynamite. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like he had like a high-waisted Bermuda jean shorts.
That was so
tucked
fun.
In the glasses.
Yes.
I think he had socks with his sandals.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, is that Kip?
So this is what, this is Glenn Powell. I love him so much. I can't say his name. Glenn Powell plays Gary Johnson. And Gary Johnson at first, because we need to go back a little bit. He is a professor of psychology and physiology. Psychology and psychotherapy.
Yes.
Yes. Psychotherapy. I can't read my writing.
I don't know what that writing
is. What is that? Philosophy. Okay. Philosophy.
Psychology and philosophy.
Psychology and philosophy.
I was like, that doesn't look like psychotherapy.
Yeah. I just need Lisa by me all the time.
I can read your handwriting.
Yes. I can read my handwriting.
You actually have really cute handwriting. It's all capital letters. You look like an architect.
Yeah, I'm a capital letter person.
That's such an architect engineer thing. My dad always wrote in slightly slanted capital boxy letters that were very precise.
I love it. Yes.
I don't know how I developed that.
I love
you
it.
You have
it
engineer really handwriting.
I have engineer handwriting.
But I'm far from it.
I have to say you are far from that.
Yes, far from that. My mathematics skills are zero.
You have such
you got other skills that are
your spatial reasoning skills and your other things are insane.
I love you guys.
Build
me up. I tear me down and you build me up.
Courtney, you're like the best human on the planet.
No.
Okay. In human competitions, yes.
Yes.
Thanks. Thanks, guys. I love you too. But he works at the University of New Orleans. And Gary Johnson is played by Glenn Powell, as we said.
Yeah. Right. And so he's the professor persona.
Yes.
Yes. And we just described to you what he looks like.
And I loved, like, the first scene where he's teaching in front of his students.
Yeah.
He's in, like, it's almost like the size of a closet.
Oh, my
like,
gosh.
And the students are just, like, so disinterested.
Yeah.
They could not give a shit about what this man is saying.
And he is such a small, like, he's just, like.
The way he talks and the way he carries himself. It's and like, oh, you almost want to give him a hug.
What a good actor.
Yeah.
Like, yes. Just how he presents himself. Yeah. He goes from being, like, so.
So then he takes his job.
But we see him in the front of the classroom and we see him in his daily life. And his daily life is very kind of quiet and sad. I mean, he has two cats. I mean, which he's so sweet. He loves them.
Hey,
He has like an organized little life. But it's very routine. Everything's clean. He has a routine and he likes it.
And he's a nice guy. He even gets along super well with his ex-wife.
Yes, he does.
And they go out and they meet. And she's like, yeah, you're like really great. You know, like you can tell they just are good friends. But she wanted zero passion.
And she, that's what she wanted. She's like, also I want a professor, more. Isn't
she? Yes. Or a lawyer. She just has that persona.
Yeah. She wanted like, can you maybe get out of your box a little bit, you know?
And into mine.
And into mine. Mm-hmm.
There, just saying.
But dating someone and he's genuinely happy for her.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
She's truly a kind
person. Yeah, just a really good soul.
Yes.
But really boring and kind of like dweeby.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So he's very he also is a like kind of electronics guy. So he dabbles in working with the police department as he helped set up the
audio stuff.
Yeah.
For their sting operations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The wiretap.
They want to capture.
I know espionage.
Yeah. They want to capture people admitting to wanting to kill other people.
Yes.
So people who are looking for murder for hire.
Which, I don't know. Was I the only person shocked that?
How many people?
In Houston. Like, I was just in Houston 5 days ago. And it is a really big city. But like that many people want to kill?
Well, actually. I wonder if this is true because he talks about, he has like a little scenario about talking. He says that hitmen aren't real. That it is a figment of people's like.
Oh, that's right.
Movies and imagination. It comes from movies and people's imagination.
Yeah.
As to.
That is true.
What it like hitmen. And he's like, there really isn't hitmen. When people are looking for
hitmen, there's actually no real hitmen. So they
rare, but it does say 2-4% of all murders are for hire.
Oh, whoa. So maybe it is true.
Well, no, but that's probably from higher, like, hey, listen, like, if I needed someone killed and I'm like, I can't do it because obviously they'll know it's me. I mean, I'd be like, Courtney, I'll give you $1,000.
Yeah. So in the year 2010, guess how many murder for hires there were?
2010. You said you just gave us the percent, 2-4% of murders.
So how many murders were there that year? And you're going to do the math.
I'm going to guess there's 56,000 murders in the U.S. that year. And I don't know. I'm going to say 120.
116.
I did the low end.
So that's something.
That is something.
They all happened in Texas. In this movie, it felt like. And I mean, we didn't know what the time lapse was, but it was like, gosh, he's like every other night, he's like being contracted to be murder for hire.
Absolutely.
But who knows how much time is actually passing between those.
Yeah. And they did say something in there like, oh, well, that was a long time ago. And he was talking about when he first met the girl. And then when they were talking about her exes, you know, like it was months and months and months.
How's that? So this could have been going on for years.
Yeah.
But I just absolutely loved Like the first time he sits down in this restaurant, he's sitting across his table.
It was awesome.
Yes. And he just lights up.
He does.
And he is so believable. The questions and I was like, I swear, he's like a legit hitman.
It was.
I was sitting there. I would have trusted him that he was legitimate.
Absolutely.
I would have handed over my
own. Guys, I am so gullible. I've realized I'm a very gullible person.
Why?
I would have been like,
his amazing.
Oh, I would have believed him. I would have been like, okay, this is check-in. This is check-in. Yes. And I want to believe what people believe about themselves.
Well, and because he's this professor of psychology, yes. I feel like he probably did a little bit of research about these people.
And he did.
And he kind of played the part that he thought they needed to be.
Well, and he said that in his thing. He's like, who is your hitman?
Yeah.
So he would change. Oh, that was one of my favorite parts.
Yeah,
of
I love that.
So this movie was so good.
It was so good.
Who would you hire as a hitman?
Yeah. Who's your hitman?
Like, who would you imagine being your hitman?
Yes.
And he would become that person.
Yes. So who would be your hitman?
Of all of the hitmans that he played.
Yeah.
My favorite one was Severus Snape. I mean, he wasn't Severus Snape, but he walked out and he was in like black jeans.
Yes, he was Severus Snape.
With a big black trench coat and his like long black greasy hair.
I could handle a speedboat.
Yes. Yeah,
I'd either say Ray, the guy that,
But he's always Ray, isn't he?
Madison falls in love with.
Yeah, he is. But Ray was the version that Madison met.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's always Ray.
So he plays different names. Yeah, which hitman?
Well,
he
is. No, he's always Ray.
Yeah.
His hitman's always Ray.
I'm sorry.
That was your hitman?
I would hire Severus Snape.
And I want him to cast a spell.
Or the guy who's like, the Santa Claus looking guy who's shooting guns.
Yeah. He was so believable. We're watching it. I thought they were totally introducing new characters. Oh. I did not recognize him. And I was like, oh my God, bro, he was the hitman. I didn't realize it until they were like starting to like talk shop.
So funny you say that.
Because he was so good.
My guy, Hal, is a really good actor.
He is a good actor.
Not only is he
great
super
actor.
Cute.
Okay, the part. Okay, so here's my part.
So good in this movie.
I am so paranoid. I'm just like, during that same exact, shooting scene.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
There's a gun.
I was terrified for him. Mm-hmm. I'm like, dude, you're with someone. Because I'm thinking, this is me. If you're out with someone who's willing to pay to kill someone.
Why wouldn't they kill you?
Why, if he got any vibe that you were off, why wouldn't he just off you?
Well, I mean, also you have to realize these people are not willing to kill somebody.
That's actually true because they're asking you to kill him. But I think they're doing that so they can get away with it.
Yeah. They're doing it so they can get away with it, or they just know that they couldn't do it. I don't know. What do you think?
I think more of the people, I would say it's probably 80% they couldn't get away with it.
Because they just don't know how to cover their tracks.
Yeah. They need an alibi while it's happening and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I honestly think that probably 30% of those people would love the other person to know that they killed them.
Yeah. I mean.
So not only would they love to be the ones to do it, they would love that person to know that they were doing
this
it.
This is from so-and-so.
This is from me because I hate you. Yeah. And I don't think I would ever.
I see that guy as being like a.
So you see him like negotiating like some hilarious kills. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're so good.
But then this woman comes and you automatically, you feel for her. Like, she is in a domestic abuse situation.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It's so obvious.
She's terrified.
Domestic abuse. Yeah, she is.
Yes.
She's like, this seems like the best way for me to get out of this. And she's actually right.
And one of my favorite parts is like, he eats pie.
Oh,
he meets with people. Like, usually he's meeting with people in, a cafe or something, and he's eating pie. And sometimes people ask him, how's the pie? And he's like, there's no bad pie.
Right.
And so she says that, too. I think she's like, how's the pie? And he's like, there's no bad pie. And they start talking, and she says, can I have a bite of your pie? And because I'm on a strict diet.
And it's not a diet that I picked. My husband has me on this
and
diet.
And you can tell she is loving that pie, every mm-hmm. single bite of it. And you can tell that she is restricted. And through that, I think it's just by eating the, like loving every single bite of the pie, you see that she is being abused.
Yeah.
Right.
That's really. Yes.
And I think he was like, this is the real deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's not wanting to kill someone because of money or she's whatever. Afraid. She wants to
she doesn't get know
out.
How
to scared for her life.
Yeah. Well, and not even that, but like, even if she's not totally scared for her life, she doesn't think she'll ever be allowed to have a life.
She needs to get out. She needs to get out. Yep, she's trapped.
She's a trapped human trying to escape, not a murderer.
Yeah.
Well, and her husband's very violent.
It's how she feels like the only way she can maybe get out.
Mm-hmm.
But he offers her because he doesn't want
well,
it. He doesn't want
she
it,
doesn't really want to kill somebody. She's like, I don't want to do it.
She just wants an out.
I just mm-hmm. want it out. And he's like, well, you've got a bag of money. That's yeah. her out.
Yes, take it.
Like, that's so, what keeps people yes. in domestic violence relationships is not having resources.
Yeah. And I'm surprised that she was able to be quite honest. I'm like, how did she get the resources? That's the part that's a little bit unbelievable
to me. Do you remember that movie with Julia Roberts?
Yes.
And she has
yes.
takes years
yes. and it
for
does.
Her to figure out how to leave that man.
And to mm-hmm. get to a point where you don't have to, like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that would be interesting to figure out how she was able to squirrel away the money. But then it would have been a totally different movie.
Well, I mean, I would love to have seen how she actually took that money and was actually able to escape. Gary gives her his card and says, please take that money, buy a new life for yourself.
Yeah.
And call me if you need any help.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know how much longer it is
and
she does.
Absolutely. He becomes Severus Snape. I like the little redheaded person that he became.
Oh, yeah.
The little, I was yeah. like, he almost reminds me of like some weird French professor.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's so good. Yeah. So she does. She escapes. And time passes and
she gives him sends him a text about like puppies being given
because they have that little like
cat
and they were totally wrong. I'm gonna clear the air. Cats, but I like dogs too, but some dogs.
I understand why you wouldn't like all dogs, because my dog
your dog and I have issues.
He only likes like three people, so don't feel bad.
He liked Bob too.
Oh, he did.
He did. Every dog.
Okay, four people.
You've heard that. You all have heard the dog barking when we're at your house.
This is so protective.
He hates me. That dog hates me. He hates me. I think I'm his number one nemesis.
I think he hates almost everybody.
No, I'm his favorite to hate. And he's my favorite to hate.
Is that the same dog that you got in Justin and him?
No, that was our other dog.
I got a lot of PD, actually.
Please pick some winners.
But I absolutely love my dogs.
They're cute.
They're so protective of our family.
They are. Like, they are.
No. Yeah, PD peed on several people.
I did like PDP.
Yeah, but I'm a dog person.
Yeah, Buddy's a little better.
So Lisa,
arena.
Lisa and I have
my Buddy barks incessantly. Yes,
but,
thank you.
But half of that is because it's me, and he barks way more with me than anybody.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah,
it's true. He can just tell that I'm
because he knows that Valerie and I have like years long cat dog.
We
dog.
Have a cat. Dog battled.
I mean,
well, he can smell it on you. And he's like, yes, she's a cat person.
Yeah, cats come to me. Like,
she's the Pied Piper of cats.
Crazy,
true.
So Bob and I joke about, like, he's like, I didn't know I married a crazy cat woman. I'm like, hello, did you not have enough evidence? I thought you were a scientist.
Did you not come to my house?
I'm like,
cats.
I'm like, when I met you, I was IVing my cat. Like, yes, I know. My cat had kidney failure and I was subcutaneously IVing it and doing all. I'm like, you're just from very observant, Mr. Scientist guy. I know you did not want to see crazy cat lady.
Oh, yes. So, well, they had that.
I had starter packs. If anybody needs the starter pack of crazy cats, come to Dover. There's a whole bunch of strays. I can hook you up.
She's got a lot of strays.
There's a lot of stray cats around here.
So he goes to this dog thing, little pet puppy.
He was so cute.
And he is, of course, like amazing. He's
still playing his hitman persona because that's the only person she knows him as.
But his true self is shining through because he is like
playing football with
he loves the puppies. He's playing football with the kids. Yeah. And she's like, what kind of hitman are you? And then they go out afterwards.
But he's still way cooler than he was.
Oh, so much cooler.
Yes.
But don't you think that part of this, like, is his evolution of becoming these characters. And I love the whole entire premises.
As he continues.
And I love how they have the conversation with the ex-wife, who's also some sort of a psychologist, professor kind of person. And how they talk about the five characteristics of personality and how personality in people can evolve and change. And she even said the whole thing about, I don't know, maybe you should explore faking it till you make it.
Yeah. Because she's like, you can change your personality. And he's like, no, you cannot.
Exactly.
You're born with it.
And so it's really cute because the way the show sets it up is this is actually the theme of the show is can you change your personality?
So let me ask you guys, when you reflect on your own life, do you feel that you've changed?
Yeah. In some ways. For sure. Just different experiences have made me learn, like, doing things this way wasn't helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could go back and date again, I would have been kinder and tell people, you know what, I'm really not interested, rather than, like, ghosting them, because that was so awful. Yeah. You know, like, I'm more comfortable, I guess, being too blunt.
That's terrible. I love you, because I'm too blunt, too.
Yeah, but I definitely wasn't always that way.
I wish you guys would rub off on me. I need to be a little more blunt.
But that's why you're the nicest of us, Courtney, because you're not.
Yeah, but there's a time and a place for it.
I get walked over a lot.
Unfortunately, that's true.
It's true. But
you're learning.
Yes. So I was thinking about this, you know, when I look at the trajectory of my life.
Trajectory. Yeah.
Thank you. What is my problem tonight? I'm just going to throw that word out there and hope that you guys can think
it's a lighthouse. Okay, it's a lighthouse.
General guide.
Yeah, the trajectory of my life has been.
Oh my God, now I'm totally thinking naughty thoughts.
Trajectory? Or trajectory?
Ooh. Oh my God.
What are you
thinking? She's thinking ejaculation.
Oh, yes. That's not my life. But
no, she's not.
So tell me about that.
My ejaculation of my life?
Tell us about the ejaculation of your other two stars of your life.
My ejaculation of my life was, I think my core has always been there.
You guys,
the same thing happens for you. And for, like, I feel like Gary Johnson. Same thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Your core values, your core person is there.
Yes.
But it's a matter of letting go of certain things.
It don't serve you.
Yeah.
Yes. And becoming a little freer and that maybe he became more himself than he was as,
He had a black and white version of himself at the beginning. And then he incorporated more gray into his life.
Yes.
Oh, for sure. It got gray.
It got really gray.
It did. Morally speaking.
I think the letting go of maybe how people perceive you or just how you need to act, like your rituals. Mm-hmm. Like, why do you need to have that ritual? Why do you need to, like, make sure you do that every single day? Why?
You don't have to.
Let go of that. And when
it doesn't serve you.
If you let go of that, what then? What do you fill that space with?
I love that. What pen?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is the Ray.
He opens himself up to more possibilities rather than his rigid.
Which is having a relationship with Madison.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he was faking it, but he wasn't really.
They had connection at that table future. When they were joking.
I feel like it was his future self.
Yes.
He was moving into, it was him, but it was his future self.
He was seeing himself as someone who could be these things, who he never thought he could be those things. So those were parts of himself that were always there, but they were parts of himself that he thought didn't exist.
Or he just had to tamper down.
Yeah.
So that he could present himself how he thought people needed to.
But it was him.
Exactly.
It was him.
The banter that they had was so cute.
So that's one of the things when I was reading about fun things about this movie was that the lines between the two love interests were not scripted entirely.
See, I think that's
they did
crazy.
A lot
they
of like
great job.
They did natural
such a
like
great job.
Because it came off a lot more natural than it would if they'd been in scripted lines.
And she was so cute.
She was adorable. I wanted to date her.
I did too. I wanted to be her.
I know. Okay. So my favorite line in the movie, I'm going to jump ahead just a little bit because it just is so insane, was the two people who work with Gary / Ray.
It was Claudette and Phil.
Claudette and Phil, who are on
they're
the little
so
things.
Yeah,
they were
listening to him as he's doing his hitman speech.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Claudette and Phil are in the van listening and recording everything so they can get
evidence.
Yeah. And so they're having this conversation and they're talking about how, you know, the nerdy kind of self-contained character is Gary, and the persona that he plays when he's a hitman is Ray. And so these two are talking and they don't realize that Gary's hearing them. They're talking about how freaking hot Ray is there. And so it was hilarious because they're discussing, and basically what's the woman's name again? Claudette is saying, my God, I would go home, my panty dropper Ray, you know, I'm all over that Ray boy. And the other guy was like, well, you know what? I'm not even gay, but I would take your sloppy seconds. You know?
Well, it was funny because they were so surprised at how confident he was.
So they're and his training was the thing. They're just whoa.
They're like, that's because
you're better than the people who've been doing this for years.
The client that Ray is talking to, the person that is hiring him to kill somebody, says, well, so how are you going to kill them? Tell me. And Ray has this huge thing.
So scary.
And Claudette and Phil are later going well, actually, that's brilliant. How in the world did he think of that?
Yes. So good.
Sold. It's throughout the, it just, to me, that was probably my favorite line was when, Claudette
and Phil.
Phil. When Phil goes, I'd take your sloppy sick.
Yes.
That cracked me up. Because not only was it just so funny and appropriate, but to me, it just talked about how I think everybody has different versions of themselves that exist within themselves. And sometimes we just get in our own way.
Yeah.
About projecting.
I think so too.
And we don't even know what version of us we really are or want.
Madison and the hitman.
Yes.
They meet up for the dog thing. She sees this soft side of the hitman and she questions, wait a minute, how can you possibly be a murderer?
Was already into him. She was already very attracted to him, and this just sealed the deal.
I mean, but he kind of gave her the permission to be free.
Relationship,
but free of the guilt that she might carry from having someone killed.
Oh yeah, yeah,
right. That's so lit. She adored him. Plus, I mean, I know, I get it. So they go on. And time passes. They continue to see each other.
And you know what? it gets steamy.
It is.
It's a little period of time. If you want a steamy movie, this is a good one.
Yeah, there's some good steam in there.
There's some really good steam.
Yeah.
I mean, I took special notes.
Did you hit pause?
A couple times. I pushed pause for rewind.
Yes. So they are dating and they're out for, I don't know, hot dogs.
So they're actually like, because he's like, I'm a hitman. I can't be out and seen out.
Yeah.
And she says, well, you know, my ex-husband is out there, or actually her husband. They never get divorced. So they kind of carry on this little fling in her house.
Yes.
But she kind of gets bored. She's like, I want to go out.
Yeah.
I want to just, can we just go out? And so they go
to a club.
Yeah.
To a nightclub.
And who happens to be there but her husband.
Yes.
Right.
Her husband. They're still married. They haven't gotten divorced.
No, because she must have escaped somehow without getting a divorce. So Ray sees them and is really upset.
He's raging mad.
Yes.
And he's threatening. He's super violent.
And Gary has never done this before. Like, he's never been in this situation, but he has to be the hitman.
Yeah.
So he's has to rise to the occasion.
Mm-hmm.
And Ray keeps just bugging them.
I didn't even think that was that bad, to be quite honest.
Well, we didn't see him in his full glory.
That's true.
So,
yeah.
Gary pulls a gun on Ray and scares the heck out of him. So he backs off. They leave. She's more enamored with Gary than ever.
Yes, because he just protected her.
Yes, and she's like, she says, I've never had anybody
stand up for me,
do that to me before. Nope. They go get ice cream, and Jasper is there too, getting burgers. And Jasper was the hitman that got in trouble and couldn't do his job. So that's why Gary has to step in.
But
so he's back, like, on the really police. Resentful of Gary.
He is.
You know it.
He's back on the police force, but he can't do the hitman job because Gary does such a good job.
And he has to watch everybody praise him. And not only that, but comparing him. They're like, well, you're so much better than this guy. So he hates him.
Oh, absolutely hates
him. So Jasper sees them and just comes up and starts talking. And he starts seeing, putting the pieces in place. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is the girl you let go. I see that there's a little something happening here between you two.
Mm-hmm.
So he takes that, puts it in his pocket, and leaves.
Yes. And then
ex-husband tries to hire.
Gary has to go be a hitman. He shows up, and it's Ray, Madison's ex-husband. So he does the thing where he's
back
like,
to back.
Well, he's like, shoot, how am I supposed to deal with this? So he goes and sits in the booth right behind Ray so that Ray can't see his face. So they're talking, and Ray's saying horrible things about Madison, and Gary can't stand it. He's like,
but he also can't blow that he's with Madison or that Ray should know and recognize him from the night he pulled the gun on him.
Right.
So Gary says something and turns to Ray, and Ray looks over and he sees that he's the guy that Madison was with the night that he is such a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
And he I think he says he shits his pants.
Basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And he takes off pretty quick.
Yeah.
But he now knows that he's trying to get not only Madison, but him.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Because he says, kill a boyfriend too.
Yep.
Yep. And make sure he knows it's for me.
Yep.
Yeah. He was dirty.
Yeah.
So he tells Madison.
Yeah.
Now Madison knows.
Yep. Now that, Madison knows that her ex.
She's got a mark on her. And I'd be pretty scared, especially knowing she got out of this really volatile, abusive situation. Like, I would take that seriously.
Yeah, we take that seriously, but she tries to play it off.
Yeah.
Ray, the ex-husband, ends up dead.
Right.
It turns out Madison killed him.
Well, they suspect it.
Well, at first they think
suspect it. So he's like, crap, I need to warn her.
Well, before, yeah, they think it's actually a drug deal and stuff. And then, but then they're like, oh, it might be Madison. Yeah. Sorry.
I mean,
sorry,
that's how they get off. So they're looking at Madison. And Jasper is once again putting all these things together and creating a situation for himself to benefit from.
Yes. Because it turns out that Jasmine isn't fully divorced yet.
Or Madison's.
Madison, excuse me, isn't.
That's names we're making up.
Madison is still not fully divorced from Ray yet.
Even though she told him she was.
She was. She lied. Oh, no. But she's not fully divorced. And she is the beneficiary on a $1 million life insurance policy.
I feel like we should leave it at this, which is, she and Gary are
find out each other lied.
Yeah, they both lied.
And he's pretty darn sure that she's the one responsible for killing her
death. Yep. So and they're distrusting each other at this point.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And questioning every single thing they've told each other.
Yep. And
what is real, what is not.
What's real, what's not real. When words fail. Or can you trust emotions?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, when actions also.
And when actions don't match.
I mean.
Truly, this is a train wreck. You can say whatever you want
to me, but what I see happening matters a whole hell of a lot more.
This is true. It's kind of a train wreck.
It is. They are in a really bad spot. And yeah. She's like, I'm out. He's like, good. You're dangerous and scary. And so I don't know. Is it repairable?
And she's here and she finds out he's a police officer and not the hitman. Mm-hmm. So she doesn't believe anything he really has to say either.
Yeah.
So it's rough. So we don't know.
I almost feel like we should tell the very next thing that happens because it does make a difference in the decision-making process. And that is, he has to go in and confront her about killing the ex.
And while he's wired.
While he's wired, and so, she doesn't know this. So they left on bad terms, like, screw you, I hate you, we're done, kind of ish. But now he's forced to go back into that situation. And he, in that situation, decides he's not going to give her up.
But by giving her up, he'd also kind of sort of give himself up.
He would. He would. So
Jasper played that his cards well.
Very well. Jasper tricked him into this bad situation.
I was like, there's no getting out of this.
Yep. But then they did it because he went and approached her, but he typed out things on his phone to tell her what was really happening. And so what was wired and heard from the wire cleared her and him. But because they had already decided to dump each other, it also just put him in a situation where they had to work together again. So then they were brought back into the scenario and had to really make a choice then after they had both just reconnected and relied to be on the same team.
Right. It gets pretty gray.
It gets really gray.
And okay, I'm just curious. I kind of felt like, I don't know. Am I rooting for them or am I not? Like, are they terrible people or
do they make sense?
I empathize with, like, does this make sense? Like, I was torn.
It's
what
true.
Do you guys think?
This is a very gray show.
You know, were you guys rooting?
Yeah.
Do you want them to get away with it?
I was rooting for him.
Me too. Does that make us bad?
We're bad people. Because I was rooting for him because she was leaving an abusive relationship. Yeah. It's not like this guy who was killed didn't destroy her, didn't try to murder her. I mean, I hate to say it, she never would have escaped him.
She would have escaped him, but she would have been 6 feet under. I mean, that's kind of the impression I was getting.
I mean, it's kind of like, and maybe she would. Maybe she would. Like, I mean, yeah, but it was too big of a risk. It was too big of a risk to not, like, to guarantee her safety. That's what needed to happen. Hate to say it.
Well, I really like their chemistry. And yeah. I just wanted to see them being together on screen.
question. But they just seem like such good people that you're like, oh, good people can do bad things then.
But it is also the chemistry.
Yeah. So
the banter, the chemistry, the love scenes.
So that means you root for them.
So let me ask you a question.
Yes, exactly.
So
okay with killing people and getting away with it. Yeah, it's covering for each other.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I mean, I think we saw Madison was a little more hazy because we didn't know her as well.
Yeah.
But Gary was ultimately a good person.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So.
And that's true. That's true. You know, like, I think one thing that's kind of funny is there is a little female bias in this, in that you just assume she's nicer because she's female. But we actually don't know as much about her character. Because she was funny, she was cute, she was bantering with him, she was a victim. We assume that she is all her negative attributes were only because of her circumstances and that she was probably better than she actually was.
And I think the movie did a good job of, like, there were moments where you're questioning.
I was like,
whether she was a good person or not. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, they did. Mm-hmm. They pulled that in.
They did. But then they also showed her with puppies and they showed her volunteering kind of and helping and being in some of those. So you're like, okay, she's more well-rounded, good than you would think. But then it was much.
I mean, who can't be sweet and loving with puppies? Like, they make everyone a saucy.
Depends on the puppy. I'm not making a fur coat. It's fine.
Oh, Cruella.
I know. I do like puppies, though. I do like dogs.
I mean, how can you not love a puppy?
It's true.
Yeah. Even if you're a cat person.
Even if you're a cat person, if you don't love
who
puppies.
Who doesn't love a puppy?
There's something wrong
with it. Yeah. So, it was really well done in that you were rooting for them, even though you knew that what they were doing was.
Sometimes definitely very gray.
Wrong.
Yeah. Wrong.
Yes. Yeah. So what do you think? I mean, they're kind of in a circumstance where now they have to stick together. Like, they have to cover for each other.
They do.
So but, did this experience, like, make it so their relationship is, you know, rock solid? Or are they on shaky ground?
I think you got to just say they're on shake. Any relationship that begins in such volatile gray circumstances is going to need
where you're so deceitful.
Yeah, it's going to need some work.
It's like you almost have to go to respect. Well, because he's reinventing himself, and maybe she is too. So maybe it's good because they're reinventing themselves together.
And then they're going to choose to live a certain persona.
But they have to go back to square one in a sense. Like, you know, they built sort of this relationship off of these people.
Mm-hmm.
But they're changing and morphing into other humans.
Yeah.
And maybe it's good to do that together.
I do believe, you know, there's been lots of talk about do you have to do all your healing before you enter into a relationship in order to have a healthy relationship? Or can you
do some healing together?
I mean, what are your guys' thoughts on this?
I honestly think that the ideal scenario is that you do all your healing and then but the reality is that oftentimes we need that catalyst to heal. And we often find that catalyst in another person.
I agree with you.
And so, I mean, you can say this is the ideal way to do it, but that's not the realistic.
I think that, you know, ideally you would want to be able to be self-actualizing and heal 100% on your own and not, you know, come to your own Zen moments by yourself. And so you know that you're completely self-actualized with your own parameters as the guides. But I think in reality that we're social creatures and we need people too much. And we need, especially when we're hurting, we need the support, we need the love, we need the attention. And we also need the feedback about how we are developing sometimes in order to move forward.
I think maybe the ultimate situation would be that you are almost healed.
I think that's
you've done a lot of the work. Mm-hmm. You are self-actualized. You know yourself and what you want and what you need from a relationship. And then you get into a relationship with somebody And then they help you kind of finish it up by giving you positive feedback.
I don't think you can complete that process
without someone else.
Without someone else.
I agree with you. Right? I don't think you can learn how to be a partner until you're practicing being a partner. And if you've never had a good partner to work with, how can you know how to work with a good partner when you've never worked with a good partner
before?
You
can read the textbooks all you want, but you can't maybe do the thing until you're actually doing the thing.
I kind of agree. Yeah. So I think I think you're right. I think you nailed it, Courtney. You have to know your boundaries. You have to know, you kind of have to know what you're willing to accept, what you're not willing to accept. Not maybe perfectly, but you have to be like 80% there. Mm-hmm. You have to know what you're looking for, what you're willing to tolerate, what you're willing to walk out for, what you're willing to fight for. You know, you have to know your limits 80% of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to be able to walk away from someone who doesn't get there enough to the point where you can learn how to work through that. Mm-hmm. And you may get to a point where that person that you're with is also 80% totally there. But in that 20% of figuring out the end, you guys realize that we both know what we want. But we thought we were within the range, but there's too much cacophony or whatever. It's not going to harmonize.
Yeah, because if you get into a relationship and you are not like fully there yourself, probably isn't going to be a healthy relationship. It's not going to really work.
If you're not at least 80%. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because how do you know when to walk out?
Well,
how do you know when somebody's abusing you? How do you know
if you don't? Dynamics between people are so unique.
It's true. Yes. Uh-huh.
No, it's hard. Like, you might have totally healed in this one area that this other, your prior partner have totally taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
But then this next partner, that they would never do that. And now you have this new dynamic that you had never experienced
and
before.
And you didn't even know to know.
Exactly.
Yeah, you didn't know that you needed to heal in that way.
Yeah, that's true.
Each relationship to is expect its own yourself, situation.
Yeah, I don't think it's realistic to expect yourself to be completely healed. I don't think that's realistic.
I think for you to expect yourself to always strive to be curious and to grow.
Yeah.
And to have that kind of a mindset.
Yes.
Is a good way to get into a relationship, because you just can't be
paying. Because I think every, like you said, even friends help you grow in different areas.
So true.
And maybe you have challenges in each relationship. So you have to navigate all that within every relationship.
Well, and also, sometimes you're if you stop to think about it, I hate to say it, you guys, I was way more intimately, involved with you two than I ever was with my ex-husband. I mean, I had more emotional investment with both of you than I ever did with him, because he just wasn't available.
So you had to find a relationship that would work.
Yeah. So, in some senses, it's I had a lot of things there. But one thing that was a gift to me was you two, because I learned, each of us, all of us, we've had to work through our friendship issues. We've had to work through boundary issues with each other. Mm-hmm.
Relationships are all unique because we're all coming from different backgrounds and experiences.
Exactly.
And the emotions we experience around those. We just all have to learn how to get along.
We do. But even though I never had that experience in, prior, I hadn't had that experience in my intimate romantic relationship. Mm-hmm. I still had experience with you guys on how to have a genuine intimate relationship with other human beings.
Yeah.
Right.
Because even if you have somebody that's emotionally not there at all, ever. So, who do you find that with? Uh-huh. How lonely is that if you're not if you don't have friends or somebody else that you can.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's complicated.
It is. All right. So anyway,
so with these two, how, knowing what we know about the two of them, are they open and curious and have that mindset?
They are working on that.
I think that they both understand I think they both understand that they have to grow more.
Yeah. And I think that they've also been through some mutual experiences that will tie you in ways.
They're
that,
trauma bonded.
Yep.
Yes.
So that we're not giving away some parts because we really want you to.
Yeah. Watch the show. It's really cute. It's super cute. Yeah.
But I think it's realistic.
I think it's realistic. I think that, yeah, I think it's realistic.
I don't know if they have met. What a fun meet cute.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it is.
I met the love of my life when I was trying to hire him to kill my friend. Can you even tell your friends that?
Some people.
How did we meet?
She's so happy. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Some meet cues. Just, you know,
they're fun.
It's between the couple.
That's right.
So what is your favorite line? You guys kind of already said yours, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, mine was the same one.
Yeah. What was
mine
yours?
Mine was seize the identity you want for yourself.
Well, yeah.
Which is kind of what we're talking about because, you know, he's in the process of morphing into another, not another person, but into a higher level of himself. It's
well,
just himself.
He's not a spirit based.
Yes.
Because I think that that's, I think honestly, I think we all have an epic version of ourselves that exists within ourselves.
Mm.
And I think that that is genuinely who we are. I think a lot of us tame it because we're scared of elements of it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was my favorite line.
That's a great line.
Okay, so does it matter?
Wait, how spicy was it before we get to that?
Okay. I mean, it wasn't super spicy. We didn't see a lot of action going on, but I really loved the foreplay.
I thought it was pretty spicy.
There were some spice scenes.
I mean, there was
there's nothing graphic, but
there was no
exactly. There was definitely,
yeah. Put it as a jalapeno.
Yeah, it was a jalapeno. Yeah, I would put it as a jalapeno. Oh my gosh. Mm. So to learn that banter was all made up, her flight attendant, sexy as heck.
I know.
She played that so well.
Yeah, I don't know how, which I would imagine that was somewhat scripted.
I think that one was somewhat scripted. She had the costume.
Yeah.
It had to be.
Yeah. But I'm
because,
sure.
Because, like, yeah.
Some on the fly.
I mean,
sure,
like.
No. They knew what they were.
I mean, but if you stop to think about it, if you were to put that on and approach that way, you'd have your scenario planned.
Oh, for sure.
So that's actually how it would have gone down in real life.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to pretend that if I were to, you know, put that outfit on, I'd look as cute with the little thigh highs and the skirt.
She was
so damn
with that outfit on.
Yeah, I
was body behind me.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
that was.
Isn't it hilarious how much hotter he was when he was confident?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I couldn't
when he wasn't.
I couldn't get over like when he's teaching at the end of the. Like he was in a full auditorium packed. The students were engaged, like complete opposite of the beginning.
It was so true.
I love that. Just that physical like show.
Well, he's so much more confident.
There's this, you know, how college classes last, you know, 4 months or whatever. And I love how much he changed in that first 4 months to where one of the girls was talking to the other girl in the class. And she's like, when did our teacher become hot?
Oh, yeah. Just like in a matter of a semester.
It was a semester.
Yeah, it was a semester long
like,
class.
Dad, have you ever taken a class where you started in a closet and ended in an auditorium? Like, how did that work? Like,
right?
How did the enrollment just sky?
Well, that wasn't, but the, in fairness, that was his kids were older. So the last scene.
Had been going to his classes for years. I don't know. Like
so,
I was like, huh?
Yeah.
So does this matter? Does it matter? Is the story engaging?
I mean,
we care about the character.
Very engaging.
You totally
love
care.
Yes, I mean, I don't know how much. It matters just because look at how much we're talking about. Like, you know?
I think it's a good point, though, that we got a lot of his character growth. We did not actually get a lot of her character growth. Mm-hmm. And I feel really sexist right now because
we are making the assumption that she is innately good.
Yes, because she's female. That's so messed up of me.
Well, I have the majority, actually, I have to say, based on statistics that men commit more crimes and blah, 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 than women.
Well, and she was being domestically abused.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Yeah,
I mean,
we automatically want to empathize.
Yeah, exactly. But that doesn't mean that she's a good person.
Yeah, we didn't get to see her character.
Yeah, we didn't get to see her. The movie wasn't about her. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it is. It's just interesting. Like, how do we present ourselves?
Even just being yourself.
Yeah.
What does that look how do other people look at you? You know, you're so into yourself.
But don't you guys know? Like, I think we all know how to do this. Like, I know all of us have done this when your life is falling apart and you've got to go to work and you have to be you without your life falling apart.
Yeah,
that's all of us are really good about doing that.
I feel we do. We have to play the part.
Yeah.
Or we have to fake it till we make it.
Exactly.
Sometimes somebody asked me the other day, they go like, well, are you seeing a therapist? I'm like, well, I have 8 in my chair every day. I don't need to see a therapist.
I get free therapy.
From 8 different people every
day.
And
you probably get way more opinions than you want or needed.
Yeah, I love it, actually.
I love sitting in your chair because I feel
that's
like
a wealth of experience that you get.
I feel like when I sit in your chair, I get therapy and the best haircut of my life.
Oh, I love that. I'm so glad. Well, I feel like I've given people therapy for years, so it's like, it's my turn. You can give me therapy right now, please.
Yeah.
You know what? It's kind of nice to have you be. It's kind of nice to have you be the one who, like, we get to support every once in a while because I feel like I'm recording.
Lately, I feel like everyone comes and sits in my chair. I'm like, are you ready for the soap opera? The second chapter, the 5th chapter, are you ready? Okay, here, let me just tell you what's happening in my life right now.
Yeah. You know, the thing is that, like, no matter how crazy it gets, like, if we ever, I don't think any of us have ever gotten to, what is it, the Latin novella, you know, the soap operas, the Spanish or Mexican soap operas, the novellas or the...
I've never seen any. So
Valerie, we have had this conversation before and you can't, none of us know what you're talking about. And I are like, you don't know what those Spanish novellas are.
Spanish soap operas.
I feel like
it's like you remember All My Children and General Hospital on steroids.
Wow.
I can't even imagine. But
are they in Spanish?
Yeah.
Do you speak Spanish?
No.
There's subtitles, though.
Oh, my gosh.
I've never watched them. No, because my only exposure. There was this show on Netflix called Jane the Virgin, and her family would watch them.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. So you got third-hand exposure.
My friend's dad.
They were on a movie that I saw.
My friend's dad's dog sitter watched them once and told me about it. Duh. I'm an expert. I read the brochure.
I was basically in it.
I was like...
Starred.
And starred. And I could direct it and produce it.
Well, I think that about covers it.
And on that note, I just did that.
But it did. It was. I thought it was very well done.
It was so cute,
and I would recommend it to everyone.
I would too.
It was just good. It was good.
Didn't you watch it as a date night?
I mean, I was like, hey, let's watch a movie. Okay.
I know. You guys are so cute. Okay, so Lisa, when she was in college and stuff, they used to like Friday night, date night, movie night.
That's true. Yeah.
And even still, with the kid, when your kids were small and stuff, your Friday night, so you guys, you would do Friday night movie nights.
I love that.
Forever and ever and ever. We've done that. Now we don't have kids, so we just do it whenever we want. So
you sexy Tuesday night kids.
Maybe Friday movie night, maybe... pizza night, who knows?
Yeah.
And maybe, what were we going to say? airline stewardess night.
Yeah. Thank you. If you guys have any suggestions of movies that you've seen that you think we should talk about, send them to us. Yes, all ears. Get on our website in the show notes. You can go. There's a link to our website. You can reach out to us that way. We love hearing from you.
We do.
XOXO.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Good night.